Okay, we're going to let the children go to their children's time. I want to say, maybe I should say Happy Mother's Day first to everybody, in case mothers are leaving. All right. So how many of you have ever had a mother? I thought that might be the case. I was with my foster grandson yesterday, actually, and somebody made a comment about everybody has a mother, and he said, "Not me. I was stolen by aliens." So, and I wonder if maybe that's the case, but not really. He's a sweet little guy. Well, today's the day we honor mothers, and it's a real special time. And you know, really ought to honor our mothers every day. The Lord tells us to do that really clearly. You know, think about that. The person that brought you into the world. Every one of us was formed in the womb of a mother. Every one of us. It's amazing to think about. I don't think, you know, as men, I don't think we really comprehend all that goes on there. And it's an amazing thing. It's just a phenomenal thing, a gift of God, that arrangement that he made to do that. So I've looked up a few quotes just to share with you this morning. A mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she never did care for pie. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, mothers. Mother is a verb. It is something you do, not just who you are. My wife's mother, as she was nearing the end of her life, said this: "No matter how old you get, when you're sick, you still want your mother." She was in late 80s. She said that. Howard Hunter said, "Motherhood is near divinity. It is the highest and holiest service to be assumed by mankind." And I sure agree with that. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much." We think about that. Mothers, I just encourage you to continue to be faithful in the little things, those day-by-day things. Sometimes they get old, and sometimes we get, you know, worn down with the drudgery of life. It's easy to focus in on only today and this moment. But I can tell you, and my wife would bear witness, those days go by awfully fast. And if you have children in your home, love each day. And those of us whose children are already grown and gone, well, we still can be faithful to them and still love them and still pray for them and still hold them before the Lord. So I just encourage you to do that. You know, it may seem like drudgery, the day-by-day stuff, but Isaiah, I think it says, line upon line and precept upon precept. And it's those little things, those building blocks, we slowly build up to that, form a life and form the kind of person that I hope that our children become. Mothers have such an impact, and I just want to encourage you. And I actually want to pray for mothers today. So let's bow together before the Lord. Father, thank you so much for mothers. I thank you for my mother and my mother-in-law that blessed me so much and contributed so much to my life. Lord, all of us had mothers. Some were wonderful mothers, and some maybe weren't so good mothers, but Lord, they still were our mothers. And we do give you thanks, because through them you brought us into this world. Lord, I pray that you would give those who are mothers and who have children in the home still, that you would give them the strength and the daily patience and endurance, the privilege of seeing the big picture, the long picture, not just the day-by-day stuff, but to continue to build into the lives of their children, line upon line, precept upon precept, in short, small ways maybe, but impacting their lives and training. So bless them in doing that, I pray. Thank you so much for the privilege of knowing mothers and the many women in this congregation who are serving you faithfully. Bless each one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I understand, and I was out in the foyer a little bit ago, and there were some lovely flowers out there. And I understand that those are for the ladies to take. So If you are of the female gender, you're welcome to have a flower after church. Okay, God bless you in that. Two things I need to say. First is the benevolent fund at the back. On Communion Sunday, we try to mention that. And just to remind people, it's a privilege for the congregation to share with people in need around our community. And so just want to remind you about that fund. And then next Sunday is a graduation from Rockside. Is that correct, Levi? Levi's grad. What are you going to do after that?
Going to Biola University.
Biola University. All right. Congratulations. That's awesome. So next Sunday after church, that'll be at 12:30, I believe. And you're all welcome to share in that. And then following that is a birthday celebration. There's a lady in our congregation that's turning, she's not 79, she's like 90, 98, 97. So we get to celebrate Marilyn's birthday. So just invite you for that too. All right. Okay, well, time to change clothes. Man, our time is flying by so much today. I don't know if we're going to get through this whole message or not. Will you forgive me if I cut it short? No? Thank you. All right. So we'll give you the whole. So there was this guy one time who was preaching he was asked to come and preach in a church. And the day he was called to preach, it snowed really, really heavily. And he went to the church and only one person showed up. And he was a farmer. And he said, well, I don't know if I should, preach the message. And the farmer said, well, if I go out and I only have one cow show up, I still feed it. Okay, so he said, so he preached his sermon. And at the end of it, the farmer said, well, I feed the cow, but I don't give him the whole load. I'm going to give you the whole load. I just want to encourage you to remember 2 weeks ago, Nick shared the word of God here, and he shared the beginning of Colossians chapter 3, and he shared the foundation of the things that we'll talk about in this chapter. If you missed that sermon, go back and listen to it. I think it's still available online. Or even if you didn't miss it, if you don't remember it fully, go back and listen again, because it was pertinent. It was very important, laying the foundation for what we're going to talk about in the rest of this chapter, in the rest of this book. I want to actually just read the first four verses that he talked about last week. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, if, or literally, probably could be better translated, since. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. The idea there is to live like who we really are. If you're born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's Holy Spirit has come to live in you. You are part of God's kingdom. You are part of God's family. You belong to Jesus Christ. So this whole chapter is, live it out. Live it out. Verse 5, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living among them. I faced a challenge this week as I was considering this passage and thinking about it, because I was remembering back to chapter 2. And at the end of chapter 2, it said, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you're living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things that are destined to perish with use. In accordance with the commandments and teachings of men, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. And I was thinking, okay, so in chapter 2, Paul says, don't submit to the outside pressures of man putting the stuff on you. And now in chapter 3, all of a sudden he says, now put to death some of these things. And how do those two things relate to each other? And I was challenged by that, thinking about that. The difference, I think, is that is is what we talked about in communion, that the Gnostic teachers were putting on from the outside man-made laws, man-made rules. Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. And it was man-made stuff, but it wasn't from the Lord. And what Paul is talking about is, now that you are in Christ, live like Jesus Christ. Live it out. Live out in fullness this law that's written on your heart. Not just the law that's outward, but the law that's in your heart that God's Holy Spirit puts in you. Because of our standing in Christ, because I'm a citizen of Christ's kingdom, because he has set me free from the law of sin and death, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because I've been raised up with Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives in me. Therefore, keep your mind focused on Christ and his rule and reign in my life, because our lives are hidden with Christ in God. I have died with Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Now, if I've died with Christ, now I need to live that out. How do you live out something where you died, right? Well, it's because the living Spirit of God has come to live inside of us. So in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality. I almost said immortality. That's not right. Okay, forgive me for that. Immortality means living forever. Okay, but put to death immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Literally, he says, put to death those things that are on the earth. Put to death is a real decisive thing, isn't it? I mean, the way it's written in the Greek actually is like, do it. Just do it. Do it. Mortify. One translation says, mortify the flesh. Mortify. Put it to death. Romans chapter 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Years ago, Bill Birch, anyone knew Bill Birch? Did you know him? Yeah. Years ago, Bill Birch came to speak to our youth group at Grenada. And part of what he said, it was from this passage in Romans 12. And he said, every morning when I wake up, I lay on my bed. I don't know what his wife does, but I lay on my bed and I lay there because my bed is shaped like an altar. And as I laying in my bed, I say, Lord, I give you my body. I give you my body as a living sacrifice. I think it's interesting. It doesn't say give your life as a living sacrifice. Give your body, because you know what your body is, right? You can see your body. You can feel your body. Give it to the Lord. As you're laying in the bed in the morning, Lord, here I am. Here's my body. I present it to you as your sacrifice, as a living sacrifice dedicated to you. Back in verse 3, he gives the reason for that. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died at a point in time when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The hidden is an ongoing thing. It's not like a one-time thing. It's like continually it stays in that. That's your standing. That's the position you are. You're hidden with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. God has done his part. We celebrated that with communion. We remembered the gift of God that he did for us. But now he calls to us in response to that. As the Holy Spirit of God has come to live inside of you and inside of me, he says, now let the Holy Spirit flow through you and live in such a way that you're pleasing to the Lord. Don't keep living like you did before you came to Christ. The Holy Spirit came to live in you and change you, change us to be people like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's the theme that runs through the New Testament, that we belong to Christ now. We're different than we were. Now, you don't look any different, maybe on the outward, but inside your life, your heart, you are a different person. So live like that. Live like a citizen of heaven. Live like not like an earthbound creature that lives only by instinct. Live like somebody who is God's given the ability to think and to respond and to react and to understand and to know things. We've been watching a bird outside our window at home. We have a tree in our backyard, and Debbie said one day, she said, I think there's some robins building a nest up there. And sure enough, they were building a nest, and then now the mother's sitting on the nest, and we watched that thing, and Debbie's every day going, looking out there, well, is the babies up there yet? No, no babies yet. How did they learn how to do that? We were just wondering that. You know, as they started building that nest, it was like, do they even know they're going to have to lay eggs? But they just do that. It's an instinct for them. That's what the animals do. But people are different. We can choose. We can choose. And we need to choose. When you've been born again, if you haven't been born again, then you don't have the Spirit of God living in you. Okay? But if you've been born again, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God's Holy Spirit lives in you and gives you the ability to choose to live righteously. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified it, the flesh, with its passions and desires." Romans 6, "Knowing this, that your old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, but he who has died is freed from sin." And in Colossians 2:12, we studied just a little while ago, "having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also are raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." We died with Christ. Now we've been raised up by the Spirit of God moving and living in us. We've been raised to new life. Paul says, "So put to death what is earthly in you." Some translations call it the members of your earthly body or whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And it goes back to, what are you thinking about? Where's your mindset? Back in verse 1, what are you focusing on? Are you focused on this life and on this flesh and pleasing this flesh and satisfying this flesh? Or are you focused on the Spirit of God and the things of the Lord? I related a while back, motorcycle driving, and driving out. You don't have this on your roads over here in this valley, but over in my valley, there's these double lanes, and in the middle of the double lanes, there's this dip with reflectors in the dip. And in the car, you don't hardly even notice that, but when you're on a motorcycle and you hit one of those dips, it's like boom. And so you got to focus not on the dip, but on missing the dip, on the line between the dips. That's where we got to set our minds, where Christ is. Set your minds on things above, he says. So then Paul goes on to actually list some things that we're to avoid, things that we are to put to death, things that, as he says, we have died to. And the first one is immorality. Immorality. The word there is porneia. We get our word pornography from that. It's sometimes translated fornication, but it's any sexual sin. Any sexual sin. Any sexual sin, any sin that's outside of the male-female marriage relationship, God says, put that to death. Put that to death in your life. Impurity is uncleanness. It's moral impurity. Passion is that erotic sexual passion, that strong physical desires of the flesh. Boy, do we see that today. It's evident around us, and our whole society seems like it's moving stronger and stronger in that direction. And God says to us as believers, be different than the world. Be different than the people around. Don't live like they are living. Don't give in to those things. Evil desire is, the word is lust there. And our whole, the whole pornography industry, which I guess is a multi-billion dollar industry in our world. It's amazing. So, but it's, that's what it is all about. It's consuming physical lust based on that lust. Our world is consumed with sexuality. It's, in fact, it's considered a right. You have the right to exhibit and practice sexuality any way you want to. That's where our world has gone to. That there's no consequences any longer. They call it a fetus now. If there's a fetus, we can just get rid of it. Okay? You can use whatever contraceptions you need so that you don't ever have to deal with it. Let's just take away all guilt. Let's make sure that nobody feels any guilt anymore. God says, this is wrong. God, this is the word of God. This is what he commands us. We are to put those things to death. Put them to death. Temptation is always going to be there. I know that. We're always going to face that temptation. But God says, set your mind on things above. Focus on the things, on what you want to be. Focus on where God is. As a believer, you have the power. You have the power, that the Lord says, to say no to those temptations. There's one more thing that Paul mentions in this list, and I'm not going to, we almost skipped over it, but the word is greed. Greed. We don't like that word. He says greed, which is the same as idolatry. Greed is the same as idolatry. Nobody here has a problem with greed, right? Anybody? No? Good. A little bunch of liars. Debbie and I are just started reading a book about, is she doing okay? Is she all right? Okay. All right. Thanks. We're just starting reading a book about the Sultan Moulay Ismail from Morocco back in the 1700s. He was the guy that had all the pirates on the Mediterranean Sea, and they were taking captives from the European lands, and they were hauling them down to Morocco and putting them in slavery, and many people died there. And he was trying to build a palace. He wanted it to be 300 miles long. This palace. That he wanted it to be the grandest building in the world. And he was all bent on doing this. And then all of a sudden, God sent an earthquake and it just wiped the whole thing out in just a matter of minutes. But he wasn't satisfied with being the richest man in Morocco. He wasn't satisfied with being the richest man in North Africa. He wanted to be the richest man in the whole world because of greed. God calls that idolatry. Now, I don't think anybody here has greed to that extent. At least I would hope not. But probably there's some greed in our hearts, and we need to look at that. We need to examine ourselves and find out, is there anything that takes the place of God in my life? Is there anything that's taking the place of God in my life? For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Actually, a better translation is, for it's because of these things that the wrath of God comes. It's a present tense. It is now God's wrath poured out on us. Not just sometime in the future, but right now. Right now. Jesus said in John 3, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Present tense. If you're experiencing trouble in your life and struggles and difficulty, maybe it's that God's, shaping you to do something different in life. But maybe it's because there's something that you're hanging on to, a sin that you're not letting go. And it's the wrath of God, the anger of God against sin that we commit. And God wants us to not be there, to not do that. One more verse I just want to read, then we're going to call it a stop for today. But 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. See, there's the difference. You know God. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. Live like a person who knows Christ. And that no one transgress or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before. And we solemnly warned you about that. For God has not called us to a purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. God hasn't changed his mind. God still says to us, live a holy, godly life. Put to death the deeds of the flesh, the desires, the sexual desires of our bodies, of our minds. Put those things to death. Consider them dead in the Lord. I'm going to skip down to a whole bunch down to the bottom here. How do you resist those temptations? How do you resist them? Three things. Number one, put them to death. As it says, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Picture your body hung on the cross. If you're hanging on the cross, how much of that temptation do you think you'd be thinking about? Not any of it. That wouldn't be there. It would not be an issue for you. So picture yourself there. Again, Romans 12, picture yourself laid on the altar and lay on the altar and offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. Okay? Put it to death. Secondly, change your focus. Set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Learn to think about that. Learn to focus on that. And then thirdly, replace it with something. And when we get to verse 9, it's going to tell us, put on the new self. Put on the new self that's being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Change your clothes. Okay, take off the old garments of the flesh and put on the new garments of Jesus Christ, and let the Holy Spirit of God flow through you and fill you. That's his desire. That's God's heart for us all. Well, we celebrated communion this morning. We've remembered the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We celebrated motherhood. We congratulated Levi on graduating. We need to pray for each other. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that your word is living and active, and it does, boy, it just speaks to issues that are true and relevant for us. Help us, Lord, to live according to your Spirit, not according to the flesh, to walk by the Spirit of God. Thank you that you do that. Live in us. Live through us, I pray. Give us the power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Help us to focus our minds on who you are and where you are, and help us to replace the things of this world with the things of God and of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.